Look, it's no secret the reason why the Celtics lost this series, because our two top 15 superstars decided they didn't want to play basketball in games 3 and game 7. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum shot 18 for 90 from 3-point. Obviously, Tatum rolling the ankle in game 7 is the caveat, is the, oh, well, if that didn't happen, we might have won. Look, there's no way that if you are a top 5 player, there's no way that you're letting an ankle twist in the first minute of the game dictate your mindset throughout the entirety of that game. It really turned me off to see Tatum grimacing, every time up and down the floor. It really turned me off because I'm just like, bro, you are supposed to be the alpha. You are supposed to be the leader, not Jaylen Brown. Contrary to popular belief, Jason Tatum is actually supposed to be the leader of this team. Not Derek White, not Marcus Smart, not Al Horford. No, Jason Tatum is supposed to be the leader of this team. Here's why I brought up the 18 for 90 three-point. Because Jaylen Brown had two games with 0 3-point makes. Tatum had one game with 0 3-point makes. They both had a myriad of games, shooting 1 for 7, 1 for 6, 1 for 8. I think Jaylen Brown had a game where he shot 1 for 9. Pitiful. You're not winning series when your best players aren't producing. And when you have to rely on Derek White and Al Horford and Marcus Smart, you know you're fucked. But I digress. I digress. Because I could go on and on. I could go on and on about the reasons why we lost, because we're not quick enough on closeouts. We're letting these shooters shoot any shot they want. I mean, the ball gets kicked out to the corner. If Tatum or Jaylen Brown isn't glued to their man, well, they're getting an open three because the closeout speed is damn near zero. But whatever, right? Whatever. Let's blame Joe Mazzulla. I actually was disgusted at the Twitter comments after game 7. I was actually disgusted. I replied to a few of them, but I was disgusted because so many people were clamoring, and, oh, we need Joe Mazzulla out. Fire the head coach. We need a real head coach. I don't understand this infatuation with automatically switching the head coach. The fact of the matter is, Joe Mazzulla is staying. Brad Stevens already said he has his back, and I 1,000% agree that he should be back. But there's these fans, these so-called, you know, oh, well, I'm a diehard Boston sports fan, clamoring for the firing of a 34-year-old head coach. I want to get to some tweets because there's some people I really wanted to air out on a video form. I didn't want to tweet this. I just wanted to air it out on the video form. So this person right here writes, you know, fire the coach, get the coach out of here, right? I just want to say I used to watch this guy on NBC Sports Boston and thought he was a pretty smart guy until I saw this tweet. And hey, if I run into him in the future, I'll probably shake his hand and say what's up. But I definitely will bring this tweet up if I see him in real life, because this is an alarming tweet. I'm sure he had a time to think this over. But to ask for the firing of a head coach after the collapse of two superstars in a game 7 is absolutely mind-boggling. So I wanted to shout that one out. And I also want to talk a little bit about Joe Mazzulla in general, because a lot of people hate this guy. And I don't say the word hate, you know, lightly. I mean, seriously, people have a serious thing against Joe Mazzulla. People hating on his press conference ability, his ability to talk to media, reporters. And here's what I say. I say, if you have a problem with the way Joe Mazzulla conducts himself in an interview, when he's giving one-word responses, he's short to the point, he's giving them exactly enough of what they need. If you're complaining about that, if you're saying, well, he's not respecting the media, you're lost. You missed the point, buddy. The media thinks that athletes owe them the world. Now, I can confidently say that, okay, Look, yes, I might be a member of the media, quote unquote, one day, okay? But I will say this, that if I'm asking an athlete a question after a loss, whether it's after a loss or a win, even after a practice, I'm asking a question, but I'm not trying to get a one-minute response and thinking in my head, oh, well, if I get this sound bite, oh, I'll be good for the day. No. When I'm asking a player a question, I obviously want the conversation to transcend. I want to talk more. But if I get a one-word answer, it's more on me to be like, okay, how can I get them to say more words in a question, right? So all these people saying, Joe Mazzulla, he doesn't earn this right. He hasn't earned the right to talk to the media like this. He hasn't won anything. Like, get over yourself. Get over yourself, seriously. You want to talk about, oh, well, he hasn't won anything. He hasn't done anything. Like, get out of here, bro. Get out of here. If anything, if you're a real Boston sports fan, if you're a real sports fan in general, you're watching this interview and you're like, wow, this is a masterclass. This is a masterclass in how to post-game interview as a head coach, okay? Especially when they're interviewing them during games. I don't understand that shit. Hey, I want to call ESPN. I want to call ESPN. I want to call TNT. I want to say, look, stop interviewing the coaches after timeouts. I don't like that as a fan. Personally, I don't like it. I know it's kind of a backwards thing to be like, why wouldn't you want to hear from the coach? You know, why wouldn't you want to hear from the coach during games? It's because, look, I want my team to win. I don't want my coach or players having to come out of the huddle and be like, oh, gotta go talk to so-and-so. Gotta go talk to whatever his name is. I don't know. David Aldridge? Is that his name? I think so. I play 2K too much. I don't know. But me personally, I would not want to be watching a game and then have the game pause because, oh, I'm watching an interview with my head coach. No, I don't care about that. I don't care. Yeah, it's nice to hear about injuries here and there. Oh, well, who's looking? Bro, the answer is the goddamn same. The questions they ask, sometimes I think I have to do a video on me reacting to the questions that some reporters ask. Because if it's during a game and you're asking a head coach, hey, Tatum has been struggling earlier in this game. How do you work to get him back to where he needs to be? Like, what? Well, obviously he's going to look at you right in the face and be like, yeah, got to play better. That's it. That's all he has to say. You over here wanting him to write the Declaration of Independence and say, oh my God, like, well, we need to do this and we need to do this. And yeah, well, that's a great question. Like, oh my God, like people sometimes in the media got to slow it down. They got to slow it down. Do not expect a head coach in a high pressure situation, whether it's a post-game press conference, a pre-game press conference, in the game press conference, whatever. Don't expect them to kneel their knees and say, oh, well, this is the media. This is ESPN. Oh, I have to really give a great answer. Like, get over yourself. I don't understand that. I really don't understand how people can sit back and confidently be like, wow, he doesn't deserve to act like that. He needs to give more answers. Like, what are you saying? What are you saying? That's the bottom line I have. People are going to hate no matter what. People are going to have some shit to say no matter what. Me personally, I love Joe Mazzulla. I've always thought throughout this season that, look, he might not be the most experienced head coach. He might not have been the leader in the locker room at times. I mean, I'm not going to hold that against him too much. He's 34 years old. Look, if Al Horford and Marcus Smart have to sit in the coach's chair during a few timeouts, that's okay. If that's what the players respond to, then that's what the players respond to. I'm so happy that Brad Stevens came to the defense of Joe Mazzulla because that's what needed to happen. You don't let your coach get thrown into the fire like that. And Brad Stevens was great by coming at his defense and saying, no, we want him to stay. People don't understand the impact Derek White has until he scores 26, right? So it's kind of alarming to me when I'm like, when you're watching basketball and you see, wow, Derek White, he's really good on help defense. He's really good on his secondary assignment. He's really good at you know, if Marcus Smart's guarding the main point guard, Derek White's guarding the shooting guard, he's really good at, you know, finding an open crease on offense. And a lot of people don't realize that until he fucking drops 6 3-pointers, you know? And I think I really appreciated Derek White being there. I was sad to see Malcolm Brogdon go down with the injury because I think he was stepping up into a great role, especially when Jaylen Brown and Tatum crap out. They don't show up. Malcolm Brogdon was a solid 13, 14 points per night. And that's all we really needed from him. I want to go back to something from game one when Grant Williams did that whole interaction with Jimmy Butler. Because it showed me that that's a guy who wants to be there. That's a guy who wants to compete. Everybody, that's why I don't understand. I feel like half the NBA fans, half the people who type on Twitter about the Celtics, about basketball, they've never played basketball. And look, I'll be honest, I was not LeBron. I was not a Victor Wembanyama prospect in my high school days. All right, I wasn't jumping out of the gym. But I will say that I feel like I understand the game. I understand that if you have a guy who doesn't play very much minutes, playing in the Sixers series, right? He doesn't play that much in the playoffs. Now he's getting a chance to come in. Yeah, you kind of have a little bit of an edge to you. Yeah, you're going to try to get in the opposing player's head. Now, I will say, Jimmy Butler is one of those players where you don't want to tick him off too much, but get in his face, try to score a bucket here and there, show you want to compete. That's the bottom line. Anybody saying, well, he's an idiot. He shouldn't have said anything. Well, in my opinion, he's the only person out there who looked like they wanted to compete. Only person out there who actually was giving him some crap. Actually was saying something. Everyone else is just lollygagging around looking for an open three. Now, as for Jaylen Brown, right? He's gonna want $295 million at least. That's the starting price, $295 million. The question is, do the Celtics fork it over? Now, here's my thing. If I'm forking over $295 million to Jaylen Brown, I want him through his prime. That's the bottom. If I'm going to buy into Jaylen Brown, I want Jaylen Brown to be a Celtic for life. I don't want this thing to happen where we give him a max and then when the contract ends, he goes away. No. I want confidence and I want clarity that Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart are going to be Celtics for life. For life. I don't want them to go to any other team. Call me possessive, call me whatever you want. I want these three players on the Celtics for life until they retire. Because, look, we've been building and building and building. And people can sit over here and say, well, the Celtics haven't won anything. They haven't won anything, right? But what has actually happened over these last 7 years? We've dealt with turmoil. Isaiah Thomas leaving. Kyrie Irving. Game 7 injury. I mean, doesn't show up. The Celtics have been building and building and building with the same squad. I'm not in a position to say we need to get rid of X player. We need to get rid of this player. Because I'm thinking about it through the lens of, look, we have the pieces necessary. We got beat because we didn't have the heart. Our talent didn't match the heart needed that the Heat had. The Heat have so much less talent. Look, Jimmy Butler is carrying G League players, and undrafted Division II college athletes to the NBA Finals. And people are scratching their heads wondering why the Celtics, with all that talent, couldn't beat them. It's because of one word, heart. They didn't have the heart. You saw those closeout speeds. You saw them not getting to offensive rebounds. You saw how they're getting open threes. Caleb Martin is shooting like Michael Jordan. And you got Max Strus looking like Reggie Miller. You got Gabe Vincent over here. Like, we didn't have the heart. We have the talent, but we need to look ourselves in the mirror and realize, look, we got beat by G Leaguers and Division II college basketball players. And if that doesn't boil their blood, if that doesn't put them in the gym for 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, then I don't know what will. Because that should be the moment. That should be the moment. Okay, you can look at the moment in 2020. You can look at the moment in that and be, oh, in 2018. But like, that was the moment. This should be the turnaround moment where we have to slap ourselves in the face and realize that we don't have the heart to compete against a team like that. And that's the bottom line. So, look, Celtics fans, we're always going to be looked at as, oh, well, they didn't win anything. But we know in our heart of hearts, we've won way more than any team in the NBA. Okay, I don't want to talk too much about this, but the Sixers have a different problem. They have no culture. We actually do have a culture, and it seems to be our culture is more focused on the talent, don't care about the defense. Because last year it was all defense. So I hope in my heart of hearts that Jaylen Brown stays. I hope Tatum stays, obviously, and I hope Marcus Smart stays. And I really hope that Al Horford can stay for 1-2 more years. That's all for now.